Hello there. Welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Salzberg here, and it's always so wonderful to have you along. And I've been talking a lot about depression, and I just recently had hosted a podcast show about depression, and the topic was mostly about postpartum depression. But today we're going to be talking about mothers who have children with special needs and how they're prone to depression and how they can be helped, because the good news is there's solutions, and there's really solutions for anyone dealing with depression and other emotional issues such as anxiety and panic and fear. So today I'm very, very delighted to be featuring my guest. Her name is Lauren Sonnenberg, and she is the founder of LifeCore. She is a licensed psychotherapist, and she's a diplomat of pastoral science and medicine, certified addictions professional, emotional freedom techniques practitioner, and wellness consultant. Lauren specializes in the treatment of chronic pain and serious illness, including cancer and ailments such as migraine headaches, arthritis, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's disease, IBS neck and back, and sciatic pain. She opened her private practice in January 2011 and then incorporated her Coral Gables practice as a LifeCore in April of 2013. She has been a psychotherapist for 11 years upon her graduation in 2004 with a master's in mental health counseling from Marywood University in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Her additional studies include training as a certified natural health professional, German New Medicine seminars, and advanced level EFT and matrix reimprinting trainings. Lauren's work includes clinical director of two outpatient substance abuse treatment centers, private practice with individuals, couples and families, and military and corrections university counseling, and integrative medicine and wellness, including corporate wellness. And as a wellness consultant, Lauren has given many, many presentations on EFT basics, EFT on the worksite stress reduction, mind-body connection basics, and mind-body connection in cancer, mindfulness, natural health and wellness approaches, and complementary and alternative medicines. She has been an active member of the Worksite Wellness Committee for a healthier Miami-Dade since 2011. Hello, Lauren. I'd love to welcome her right now. So hello, Lauren.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, Miriam.
Hello,
thank you so much
hello,
for the
hello.
Introduction.
Yeah, my thoughts are getting ahead of myself. So
That's all right. So yeah. So happy to be on the show today.
Well, I'm very, very happy you are a guest, because I'm certainly going to pick your brain.
Wonderful.
So before we do that, I'd love to know exactly how you got into the field that you're in.
Well, in an unlikely fashion, my undergraduate degree was actually textile engineering, and sometimes you figure out what you are a best fit for when you work in something that you turn out, it turns out that I didn't really love working in the manufacturing side of the world, and so I figured out that, yes, human services was going to be a much better fit for me, and I love what I do, and I'm very lucky to do the work that I love.
Well, that's great. And you know what? We're better at it. We're better at what we do that we love to do. So
amen. Amen to that.
Yeah.
So true.
Okay. Now, the situation is that depression is so common. I mean, you know, and the fact of the matter is a lot of people are ashamed to talk about it. And it's very sad. It really, really is sad. But the fact of the matter is depression is really, it's not getting any better. I think it's getting worse. What do you think?
I wouldn't say necessarily that it's getting worse or better, but I think what is happening is people feel more free to talk about it than they did, say, 30 or 50 years ago, which is a good sign. So there's more honesty and less stigma. So maybe it feels like more, but people are getting real, and that's really the key to, you know, getting the ball rolling. Because when you aren't in denial of an issue and you put it out on the table, then you can at least find a solution for the problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you know what, people from all walks of life, they deal with depression. It's very common, and a lot of things cause it. And I mean, a lot of times it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. But you got to admit, sometimes external factors do trigger it. Now, one thing that is a very common trigger for depression is parenting children that have special needs. It's very depressing in many ways because the fact of the matter is many parents have expectations for their kids before they have kids, and then once they find out that they have a child with some kind of special need, it's like a blow, if you will, you know, and I'm sure you've dealt with a lot of cases like that, and then as a result, you know, the parents, especially the mothers, become very depressed, and it's that's just one factor, but it's also very exhausting. Caring for a child with special needs. So what tips would you be giving, you know, mothers in this situation?
Well, first thing is first. So, yes, there is the shock, and we can even say it's a trauma of some level, because you have a certain level of expectation, and, yes, you never know exactly what your child's going to look like or what your characteristics of any child, any newborn child, but when there's that added degree of, oh, it turns out that the child has special needs, dealing with that first shock and trauma and adjustment, that would be normally the first thing I would approach with a client coming in, and I would use a combination, say, of talk therapy with EFT, which is emotional freedom technique, which is a tapping technique at various acupressure points, which really helps to not only, like, psychotherapy will help a person be able to see a situation differently, but sometimes the emotional piece lags behind. Like, they can see it intellectually that, oh, yeah, I could look at the situation entirely differently, but the emotional piece just doesn't seem to catch up. But the EFT bridges that gap, and so it kind of, as I often say, it supercharges the psychotherapy because it covers that extra piece, which is so vital in terms of helping the overall chemistry of the mind and body. So depression, as you mentioned before, it's not just from the external circumstances, but when those external circumstances are internalized, especially with a shock and trauma, the brain will literally produce different chemicals, and that will cause a depression for a person. So we have to really address depression on a full mind-body level. So that would be the first piece we'd be looking at.
No, my question to you is that, say if somebody wasn't really prone to depression and that person was happy-go-lucky all the time, which we know is not realistic because very few people are truly happy-go-lucky all the time. I mean, you know, you do have people that try to always look at the glass full or half full, if you will. But being happy-go-lucky all the time, I don't know. But my point is there are some people that just aren't all that prone to depression. But then when they deal with a shock, like having a child with special needs, can they still be, you know, be strong? And, well, I don't want to say strong. That's not the right word, because being depressed doesn't make you weak. But would they still have the same disposition? That's the better question.
Well, a person, I believe, with any circumstance in life, can get to a place that they can have a positive outlook. I mean, outlook. Will you be happy-go-lucky 100% of the time? I don't think that's true for anyone.
No.
But I think it's a matter of how long we stay in a depressive mood or a happy state that dictates our overall sense of our experience, you know, living on this earth. And so with any circumstance, including having a special needs child, a person can arrive at a place where the outlook is brighter. You know, really, anytime we're starting to look for the positive in any situation where at first it may seem very, very challenging, especially adjusting initially, especially if it would be your first child. You already have that aspect of, I'm in a new environment doing something that I've never done before. I should say a new role doing something I've never done before. My sleep is limited, and my entire life it has been changed. And now, yet there's this added component, not that it always shows up from the moment of birth. It can show up later on. Whenever that adjustment takes place, knowing that there is always a possibility to look at it in a more positive way can be relieving for a person. Now, if they're really down in the dumps, just saying that to a person may not even be that uplifting, but to kind of meet a person where they're at and scaffold them up through that process of being able to look at any scenario, especially in this case looking at, you know, the challenging experience of raising a child with special needs, that can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
aligning them with support, like being in alignment with other parents of special needs children can be a very helpful piece of that healing and support, building up that that system where you don't feel like you have to do it all alone.
Well, yes, and you know what? There are some things about that that I do think is good and some things about that that isn't good. Now, mm-hmm. the other parents have to be willing to be getting help as well in order to be a positive influence, because unfortunately there's a lot of parents with special needs, children, that are extremely jealous and can be quite detrimental to others. You know, and I've seen it. I know it because I've seen it. So I think it's important that they hang around those who are willing to get better and that are mm-hmm. in a similar situation.
Right. And to be around others who have done it successfully, for lack of a better term, I'll define what successfully is,
mm-hmm.
I guess,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they feel like they have found an approach that feels optimal, like it's not a daily struggle. And so those
mm-hmm.
people are going to be the more empowered role models in that position. Whereas if people that you're aligning with in any particular group are feeling still more a victim of their situation, that
mm-hmm.
is not going to be very uplifting. So, yeah, you're
right.
It has to be the right group that you align with. And it doesn't have to be a formal group. It could be informal group that could be couples from your church or your neighborhood or your extended family that aren't overwhelmed by it and are willing to see the positives in it, because there are positives in everything, for sure.
Yes, there are. There certainly are, and we don't always see it, but it's very true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think many of us need to be trained to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's then I suppose that's what EFT also teaches you, right?
Well, what it does is it helps to neutralize the negatives, because we're not trying to just jump from negative and depressive thoughts into happy, happy, joy.
That's not realistic.
Yeah,
no.
It's not realistic and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
work. But what we do is we really address and tap on the negative feelings that a person is experiencing. It could be frustration. It could be feeling let down. It could be disappointment. It could be feeling unsupported. There's a multitude of different feelings a person could be having. And by tapping those down and neutralizing them, we allow a person to kind of break free of the shackles that keep them in the depressive mindset, and it allows them to kind of take that first leap in the direction of feeling more, feeling happier and feeling more upbeat and more okay and acceptant of a situation. Because any situation
acceptant,
that we are
right.
not acceptant of, anytime we're feeling this resistance, what we're going to get is more of it. Because we've all heard the statement,
yes.
you know, what we resist persists.
That's very true. That's very
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, acceptance is really the key. Acceptance is
mm-hmm.
absolutely the key.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, absolutely. It's the key. Because you know what? That is the key. Acceptance, if you don't accept the situation, it's very true. It becomes worse.
Right. And that really kind of takes us from psychological perspective to a more of a psycho-spiritual one. And this can fit with anybody's spirituality or religion.
Mm-hmm.
When we take it to this level and we say, nothing happens for no reason at all. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to believe this, but those people who do believe this tend to feel lighter and happier, and you're more apt to find the reasons that support this concept. When you say nothing happens for no reason at all, meaning everything happens for a reason, and the children that we're seeing more and more children these days with special needs, and so we could say, okay, it's a function of the chemical environment that we're living in. It could be a function of the stressors we're living in. But you have to take it all together as a sum total and say, we are being shown in our lives different, we're seeing so many things as the world turns. And when you see, say, a child with special needs, we have to then ask ourselves, what is this child here on this earth trying to teach us?
Mm-hmm.
What treasure and gift have they brought into our lives? And not just the lives of the parents or the extended families, but as a whole society. And when we're able to look at it from or through that lens, you'll see a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see a lot more than just the daily frustrations and the challenges. The scope will become farther and wider, and then it all makes sense then. And when things make sense, the acceptance levels go up, the depression levels go down. And, of course, we would have to look at that on an individual basis, and everybody looking through that lens, they're going to see something different. They're going to see variations. But this can teach us so much about ourselves when we
see. Yes, very
see
true.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very, very
so
true.
Much. Yeah.
It's true. And, I mean, I think one fear that a lot of parents have that have kids with special needs is that they're going to take care of them forever.
Mm-hmm.
But the
mm-hmm.
thing is, that doesn't have to happen. In fact, it shouldn't happen, because every child is meant to leave the nest. And I think that is something that these parents need to understand as well. But the difference is that there's going to be a lot of planning involved in order to make sure that that happens. And this is one of the
yeah.
things that I am a big advocate for. I'm a,
yeah.
an absolute, I'm a total
mm-hmm.
advocate. Yeah. So, you know what, the thing is, there's a lot of resources. See, this is the thing. You have to accept the situation and reach out for the resources, because there are
mm-hmm.
a lot of resources to tap into. And if this is a
yes.
concern, start to plan early.
Right.
No, it's
and,
never.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then a lot of times guilt and shame comes up for a person in that sense. If they think, oh, I'm not allowed to create a situation where they're able to move on beyond the nest, even if it's a situation where they have additional care and they're not on
mm-hmm.
their own.
Mm-hmm.
So that guilt and shame definitely needs to be addressed. Otherwise, a person will feel depressed or stuck in their situation and not free to make the decision that is best for themselves as the parent. If you're not taking care of yourself emotionally, you can't take good care of other people. It's kind of, you might be able to go through the steps and the motions, but ultimately, energetically and emotionally, you're not necessarily really doing the best thing for other people if you're ignoring your own needs.
Yes, very true.
And
very, very
that
true.
That's a major, major hurdle for not everybody, but for many people, and because we've been trained to not be selfish in
I know.
Our
and
world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that you're right. You know, if you don't want to take on that kind of care, then you're being seen as selfish, and that's absolutely
yes.
wrong. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is, I have a child with autism, and I have my own plans to live my own life. I
mm-hmm.
also have a daughter who's typically developing a little bit of ADHD, but she's typically developing, and I also don't want her responsible for my son.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm making plans now.
Yeah. And holding the mindset throughout the development of the child, early years and older developmental years, to have the mindset that this child will not be able to be functioning at a certain level. I mean, some people will say, well, you don't want to sugarcoat and say, you know, what could not be, but you also don't want to limit what the possibilities
are. Oh,
no, are.
Absolutely. No, no, no. You
yeah.
have to be realistic,
yeah.
but also be positive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know
yeah.
my son will be able to work. He will be able
mm-hmm.
to, you know, be semi-independent anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be good for him. It'll be good. It's good for these kids anyway. And I think this is the thing. If parents realize that they aren't going to be saddled for the rest of their lives, that may actually be quite helpful alone and make them more relieved.
Right. And the depression, since some of it comes from that, feeling like you're not able to do things at all for yourself, once that's alleviated to some degree, a person starts to feel better. Their mood improves. Their outlook on their life improves. Because it's sometimes difficult to stay just present-centered. It's very easy to look at, okay, what's the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or the rest of my life going to look like in this role, which can be suffocating for a person. But it doesn't have to be. And sometimes the most challenging situations are those that seem so on the surface can bring about the greatest reward. And when you make a decision and you take a leap of faith in whatever direction it is, the next step does show up. But it doesn't show up until we take that leap of faith. And, you know, there's something else you said before, which is powerful and probably a lot of people can relate to. Well, other people may judge. The other people may say, oh, you're being selfish if you make a certain decision. Mm-hmm. Now, in all judgment in the end is self-judgment, because if a person resolves all guilt and shame and internal sense of judging themselves, it will no longer matter what other people think. And there is no greater freedom than no longer caring what other people think, no matter what the subject is. That is huge. So if you're feeling judged by others and it bothers you internally, know that you have your inner work to do, and it's just a mirror pointing you back to yourself if you're feeling that. Yeah. So it's
Very true. Let it guide
you back to yourself, and don't let it torment you. It's like, oh, okay, the universe is telling me to look inwards, and, you know, you don't have to sit and work on it by yourself. You can, you know, work with a therapist. And that will be very helpful.
Very good. Well, Lauren, we're almost out of time, unfortunately. So are there any other tips that you'd like to give?
I would say to have a daily ritual of some sense, even if it's just 5 minutes where you maybe turn, light a candle and do a little meditation, or take a short hot bath, or do a couple yoga stretches, or listen to some relaxing music online, whatever it is. If you can give yourself a little five-minute vacation every day, that's just for you, it's just your you time, or as we say, me time, then that is very, very, that's very helpful for a person, regardless of their situation. But so many parents, especially special needs parents, haven't called out that me time, and they desperately need it.
They definitely do. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Lauren. Now, how can people reach you?
Well, I'm available online at lifecoreonline.com, which is LifeCoreOnline.com, or via phone at 305-396-6360, and I am located in Miami, Florida.
And social media as well?
Yes. At LifeCoreOnline is the Twitter handle, and the main page on Facebook is the facebook.com/ Lauren Sonnenberg, LMHC, which stands for Licensed Mental Health Counselor.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lauren. This was very, very valuable. All right,
thank
everybody.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you. Everybody, you have a fantastic rest of the week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye for now.